You're listening to Trek FM.
Maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey. To the journey. Hello, everybody at home. This is To the Journey.
To the journey.
I am your co-host, Tristan Riddell, and with me, as always, is...
Lori Sears and...
Charlene Schmidt.
And we have a great show for you tonight. Now, I want to clear up some possible confusion. This show is a very specific show. This is about guest stars that you recognize right when you see them come onto Voyager. You don't recognize them from Voyager. They've had an established career before, and you're like, oh, holy crap, that's The Rock. we all remember that episode where we're like, oh, yeah, that's not Soon Kotze, that's The Rock episode.
Yeah. I know that dude.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. It is. We should call this episode, I Know That Dude.
We got a title. Boom, roasted.
That's the title.
Yeah.
Bam. Man, like, ladies and gentlemen at home, that's the easiest that the three of us have ever come up with a title for this
wow.
show.
Yeah, ever. That's so cool.
That's got to be some sort of record. But okay, so like, there's been tons and tons of great guest stars on Star Trek. I think Star Trek is probably one of the best show, if not the best franchises of having the best guest stars and even ones who aren't well known. What do you guys think? Just in general of guest stars.
Yeah, totally agree. Star Trek finds a way of getting amazing actors, known or otherwise, to guest on the show.
Oh, yeah. Even putting them in crazy makeups. You wouldn't even know who they were until you saw their name in the credits.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, happened many times.
And I want to say one special mention. Like, we're not going to focus on them too much, but I just want to get it out of the way because I just now thought of it as we're talking. James Cromwell is a Star Trek alum. He's been in so many different versions of the series. He's been in the movies, and he's been the reason why I thought of it is because Lori, I remember he played a Eurydian, I think that's what they're called, in a TNG episode, and you would have no idea it was him, but then he opened his mouth and you're like, oh my gosh, it's James Cromwell. And so, you know, as we all know, James Cromwell is probably most famously known as being the father of warp drive.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the father of the pig in Babe. Sorry.
That's where I knew him first.
James Cromwell is the father of many things. The father of warp drive, the father of modern robotics, the father of surrogates, and the father of the pig. I mean,
wow.
It's strange.
He is a father many times over.
In many ways.
Yes.
In many ways, yes. And so, yeah, so we're going to talk about all of the guest stars that were established before they came onto Star Trek, but we're going to talk about some of our favorites and probably some of the most recognizable ones, because we can't mention everyone, because everyone who comes on probably has a career in some form or the other. So,
right, totally.
Please write to us if we miss one and saying, like, hey, I remember recognizing this guy or this woman, and let us know where you know him from. So, Char, let's start right off the bat with probably someone who's most famous for her comedy. She started in stand-up and then started getting her own show, and that would be Sarah Silverman.
Indeed. And, okay, I'm going to totally throw things off for a loop here, because you mentioned these were people we knew before Voyager. For me, Sarah Silverman is the opposite. I knew her on Voyager first, and then I got to know her comedy a little bit. I know she did comedy before, but then she's done so much afterward that it was a reversal for me. Now, for other people, it might be different, of course. But for me, she'll always be Rainn Robinson.
I loved her in that role.
I did, too.
I really did. I thought she was perfect for it. And that episode was a two-parter, Future's End.
Mm-hmm.
Future's End had another great guest star that we'll mention a little bit later. But we're gonna bookend this episode a little bit. Sarah Silverman is probably right now, for the people who are into pop culture, she's most famous for her show called The Sarah Silverman Program, or The Sarah Silverman Show. Jeez, I don't even know.
I've watched a little bit of it. Is it still going, though? I thought this was a couple years back.
This was a couple years back. Okay. I mean, she's been doing a lot of voiceover work recently. Like, she was on Bob's Burgers and the movie that just came out on DVD, Wreck-It Ralph, which I have not seen yet. Have you guys seen it yet?
No. I had no idea, in fact.
Yeah. And she was on the show Louie, which is a really great show with another comedian, Louis C.K.
Yeah.
And she was on, like, I see her everywhere. She does a lot of guest starring roles.
She does.
Like, she was in the Muppets, she was in Children's Hospital, The Good Wife, The League, Monk. She did a couple episodes on Monk. I mean, she's just all over the place. I remember she always plays the girlfriend who is disapproving of her boyfriend. I've noticed, like, that's her niche role, which makes me wonder about her relationship with Jimmy Kimmel, if that was actually reigning true.
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of makes you wonder that that's not how it applied to Tom Paris, really, either, because they were kind of the geek out B-movie fans together.
Yeah.
I don't think she disapproved. She just thought he was kind of a little off, as she said.
Now, Lori, if B'Elanna and Tom never really made it work, do you think that this could have been like a Voyage Home situation where he takes Sarah Silverman onto the Voyager and they travel throughout the Delta Quadrant together? Do you think that would have worked?
No, honestly, I don't think that relationship would have worked.
I'm so glad you said that. Did you know that that was actually considered as a real possibility?
Oh, yeah. Man, I didn't know that, but you can so tell in the writing. It is just in there.
Yeah.
Like, I could just see her jumping on Tom as he transports back to Voyager.
Surprise!
Yeah, that take me along. Yeah.
Yeah, that was for real. Bron and Braga was actually considering keeping her on because they liked her character so much. They thought, what if? And I think at this point, maybe they were juggling around, putting in a new female character. This was season 3. You know, just about a season before Seven of Nine comes along. But I'm so glad they chose not to do this. I don't think it would have worked. It's like trying to make, you know, the White Album out of a one-hit wonder song. It just doesn't work.
Right. There are certain characters in Star Trek and in every show where they have a fantastic appearance, they have a fantastic episode, and then people say, like, oh, we should bring that person on full-time, or even better, let's give them their own spin-off.
Right.
And it just doesn't work because the magic was used up in that one instance.
Exactly. It was so good for what it was, but you can't stretch it out and make a real big thing of it. There's just not that potential.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Absolutely.
She needed the whole. Yeah. No. She needed that once off, that one off, whatever you say, and that's it. And that was good. She was good for what she was, but no. I don't think so.
No. Yeah. Very cute at the time, but glad it was short and sweet.
They were too much alike.
Yeah. I agree. They probably would have ended up hating each other. And then what? She's stuck on the ship with him?
Yeah. She gets airlocked or something. I don't know. I don't
know. Maybe she
That's what Tom
Harry.
Does when he breaks up with somebody.
Get out.
I feel like she would have been a fish out of water, but not in a good way that you see on sci-fi.
Yeah,
I feel like
awkward.
She just would have been misplaced.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, Seven of Nine was a fish out of water, but in an interesting, I can adapt way. Sarah Silverman would just be, oh, that's Sarah Silverman.
Yeah.
It would turn into that.
A little different. Kind of a drop off there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I said we were going to book in this, but I just can't miss the segue. Somebody else that we saw in Future's End, who is a very famous actor. I mean, he's one of those actors who has never been a leading man. He's not a household name in every single house in the nation, but he is in many, and he's constantly working. He's working all the time, and he's good at what he does. He's good at drama. He's good at comedy. He's just a fantastic actor, and that's Ed Begley Jr.
Yeah, he's like Jeffrey Combs. He is everywhere.
He is everywhere.
He's in everything.
And this is a point of pride, and also he connects with his fans very easily and very well on Twitter and on social networks and things like that. A couple of days ago, I asked the question, who is your famous guest star? I mean, who is your favorite famous guest star on Star Trek? I was asking this question in preparation for this podcast on Twitter, and somebody said Ed Begley Jr., and they just talked about how amazing it was. He found it, responded to it, and said, oh, bless you, thank you, you're too kind, you know, just like everything like that. He was very humble. It was just cool to see that kind of fan interaction.
That's pretty sweet.
That was nice.
I've always appreciated him and everything he's done.
Yeah. I totally loved him, and this is Spinal Tap.
That's right. He wasn't. This is Spinal Tap, wasn't
he? It's a great movie. If you've not seen that, after this podcast is over, go to Netflix and watch it now. You won't be sorry.
He's another one of those actors. Like, he's actually been on, he's worked so much. He's actually in some of the same stuff as Sarah Silverman was. Like, he was in
yes,
Resilient Isles, CSI Miami. He was in Children's Hospital, The New Adventures of Old Christine, Monk. He was just in all of this stuff. I mean, and in countless movies. The guy, like, he's the type of actor that has a perfect kind of career where you get paid and you're constantly working, you're doing what you love, but you don't have paparazzi sneaking up in your garage or in your bushes.
Right.
I always appreciate character actors like that.
Yeah, totally. It's a perfect balance between Angelina Jolie and nobody.
And yeah, Angelina Jolie and nobody. Yeah, exactly. Right smack dab in the middle is Ed Begley Jr.
But hey, the dude's doing what he loves, and bless you, sir.
You know, we need to ask him on Twitter because he was in a lot of episodes of Veronica Mars. Mm-hmm. And with that whole Kickstarter thing that just came up, you know, a couple of days ago.
Yeah, that's huge.
I wonder
right
if he's going to make an appearance. Although, I don't remember the series, so I don't know if he died in it. So
that might be difficult.
Hey, you know, that can change.
You know, in sci-fi, anything's possible.
That's right. That's right. It doesn't matter if you're dead. You can always come back.
He was also in, he was in Boston, he was in a couple episodes of Boston Legal, which is mm-hmm. another Star Trek connection with William Shatner.
Right.
I really like Boston Legal.
And Jeri Ryan, she was on that show.
Hmm.
Wasn't she?
No, you're thinking of Boston Public.
Yeah, oh, that is what you're thinking about.
Good God. Ugh. Sorry.
Yeah, I tried to think. I was like, I think she was in one episode of Boston Legal, but
okay.
I was like, yeah, she was.
Boston Legal, Boston Public, one different word.
And I'm sorry I keep going on about Ed Begley Jr., but my absolute 100% favorite role of Ed Begley Jr. was Stan Sitwell in Arrested Development.
Oh, awesome.
Now I did totally not see awesome. That.
What?
I know.
Char. This is the common reaction. Whenever you tell someone, oh, I've never seen Arrested Development, everybody goes, what? What?
See, I really am unfamiliar with it because I just don't get the reference. I'm very deprived.
Anyone who has seen Arrested Development has said it's one of the best shows ever written and ever made. And
so
he was a big part of that. There was a lot of great one-liners just from him, and his delivery is pitch perfect.
Okay, I'll have to check it out. I'll add it to the list, which just keeps getting longer and longer.
I know. It just keeps getting longer and longer. And talking about another person from a famous, famous sitcom, that would be Jason Alexander.
That's
oh my
right.
God, yes.
Yes.
No soup for you. That's what I was thinking.
That is my favorite
exactly.
episode.
Exactly. I think that's everybody's favorite episode.
It's
got
to be, right?
Is like a casual watcher. Mm-hmm. Like somebody who's not like hardcore. Like they like mm-hmm. even if you were hardcore, you could say that's your favorite episode. But I like everyone I've talked to who casually watches it says, oh yeah, Soup Nazi. That's my favorite one.
Everybody's seen the Soup Nazi episode. Yes.
I don't really see Jason Alexander that much anymore. I mean, but then again, I'm not really looking for him.
Right. Same here. I know after Seinfeld, he did a sitcom that kind of fell off the face of the earth after a season, I think. And then after that, I think I might have seen him in a couple of commercials. I don't really know what he's up to.
Well, he's done a few things here and there. Like he did a few guest starring, like he was in Monk as well. Man, everybody on our list is from Monk. He was Malcolm in the Middle.
Oh, was he?
Like a lot of stuff that I just, when I looked him up earlier tonight, just a lot of stuff that I don't recognize him in. He was in Criminal Minds, kind of made the USA TNT criminal racket, you know.
Okay.
He played himself a lot in Curb Your Enthusiasm. That's right.
Okay. I probably even saw him in that, and I just can't recall.
Yeah.
That's cool. Now, here's a question for you guys. What did you think about his character on Voyager, the leader of the think tank?
Yes, we need to talk about that. Yay. We need to talk about him in that episode, Lori. Did you like Think Tank, Lori?
For what it was, I did. I liked it. It was an interesting premise. He was a little skeezy, but other than that, and that voice...
Oh, that's what I bring this up, because that voice, that kind of like the condescending, I do know more than you and I know it kind of voice.
It was perfect for his character, I thought. I could understand how it might annoy you.
It was, but that's why it worked. I mean, people who are like that, that is how they talk to other people.
And I love that, like, I've never seen him take on a character before. I've only ever seen him as Jason Alexander and or George.
Right, yes.
So, like, when he's like, well, I feel like Seven of Nine might be able to expand horizons maybe a little bit more with us. You know, like, it's just...
That was really good.
Weird.
And
skeezy!
It kind of has the creepy vibe a little bit. You know he's up to something, and you're trying to outsmart him by figuring out what he's up to. And yet, well, no, he's, you know, who's got the upper hand on the next move? This is a think tank guy here. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
But as the episode resolved, I mean, by themselves, they're probably no better or worse than any of the rest of us.
I've talked to a lot of people who didn't like that episode, and I really enjoyed it. Like, a lot of my family members didn't like it because they don't like Jason Alexander.
Oh, really? Hmm. So he killed it for him?
Yeah, he did, and I just don't see it. I don't see it at all.
No.
I felt like he did a great job, and I like the story, and I like the idea. I thought it was a Seven of Nine episode that wasn't just repeating the same themes over and over and over again.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a different story, and I quite enjoyed it. And his character did annoy me a little bit, but I think that's what he was supposed to do. How can you fault him?
Right.
No, he did a super job being the skeezy skeeves that he was. I mean, he really sold it.
He did.
It did give us a horrible montage, though. Of them thinking, like the thinking montage. Do you remember that segment of the episode?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was so fantastic. I'm not one of those people who just bashes on montages, because sometimes you need them, you know, sometimes you need them. But this one was so horrible because literally all they were doing was thinking.
That's true.
And Jason Alexander, he's a huge Star Trek fan.
Yes, he is.
I think he actually requested to be on Voyager. I might be mistaken.
I think you're right. I think I read that he wanted to be on there several times, and it finally worked out where he could be this guy. He could be the think tank guy.
Okay. Haven't we all had that dream that where we have the kind of gravitas where we can go to a producer and say, hey, I really like your show. I want to be on it. And they're like, oh, yeah, sure.
How amazing would that be?
That would be really amazing.
Sign me up for so many things.
I know, as soon as the next Star Trek series comes out, when I have grandchildren, hopefully I'll have enough gravitas by then.
That would be freaking sweet.
He was also the host of the William Shatner Roast, so it's another William Shatner.
That's right, he was. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, it's like so many reels within reels.
I know, everything is so incestuously interconnected in Hollywood. It's not bad.
All right, well, let's talk about the guy who we talked about at the beginning a little bit, and that is The Rock, but better known as Dwayne Johnson now.
You think so?
Well, maybe not. Okay, maybe not better known, but that's what he likes to go as right now.
The artist formerly known as The Rock.
Yeah, first it was The Rock, then it was Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Now it's just Dwayne Johnson. I feel like he paid his dues. You know, he did his stupid action films, and then... kind of did some more stupid action films, and then did a few less stupid action films, and so now he can actually use his proper name.
So it's sort of like Marky Mark not being Marky Mark anymore.
Yes, it is exactly like that. I was trying to think of like other wrestlers. I was like, well, Hulk Hogan is still Hulk Hogan, and he can't act.
He did that A&E reality show with his family. I don't know if he does it anymore.
It was VH1, I think.
No, it was A&E. I'm pretty sure of it.
No.
Do you want to make a bet again?
Do you want to counteract this?
Hold on.
I haven't sent the candy bars yet for the X-Files thing, so this might be able to...
Hold on.
Okay,
I can double
Lori's
my money.
Looking it up.
Let's go.
Okay, so it's double or nothing.
Okay.
What was the name of the show?
Yeah, it's Hogan's Knows Best.
VH1.
What?
VH1.
Canceled it out. All right, so I won that one. Okay, returning to Star Trek.
Just when I start to get even with you.
I feel satisfied. Okay.
Good for you.
So The Rock is famous, or depending on who you talk to, is infamous for the episode Tsunkatse, which is another Jerry Ryan episode. So
very much. Yeah, it's wrestling in space.
It's wrestling in space. That's exactly what it is.
It's pay-per-view wrestling in space.
But just think about that as pay-per-view, like in the that's how pay-per-view is going to be in the future. Like if you have some sort of let's look at it from a less lowbrow perspective. Let's think you have a magnificent opera that you could only see in Italy. Well, if you have an amphitheater that's rigged with holographic projections, you could see that exact same performance on the other side of the world. Now, I know that they're doing that right now since digital projection has come into full swing in theaters. Phantom Events has been doing things like that where you will see live events on the other side of the world or at the Met. And you can see them anywhere in the country. And I feel like Tsunkatse is going to be a future example of that. And I can't wait for that to happen.
So you want to see Tsunkatse live from London?
Not necessarily Tsunkatse, but if it had The Rock, you know, fighting Jerry Ryan.
You'd watch that, huh?
I would watch that. I mean, I really like that episode. Was that a season opener?
No, Tsunkatse was midway somewhere in the season.
Okay, for some reason, I always felt like that was a season opener because they pumped it up so large on the UPN that I felt like it was this grand event.
Yeah, well, and the thing is I think they were really trying to almost like cross-promote with WWE SmackDown or whatever it was that they had.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yes, I forgot about that.
Yeah, because that was the other program that UPN sort of had ratings for.
What's the deal with them trying to mix wrestling with our sci-fi?
Ratings. Hello. Yeah. That was it. That was all. So they got The Rock on there to beat up on Jerry Ryan.
Well, no, like with the sci-fi channel. Like you're watching a Star Trek episode and then all of a sudden you're watching WWE.
Yeah.
What's the deal? We did that 10 years ago on UPN. We're doing that
I don't know.
with sci-fi or sci-fi, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, I have a problem with all of that.
This is opening a whole new can of worms.
It is. This is another show topic.
Yeah, you could probably go to any Trek FM show, and this will be mentioned at least once.
Right.
In one of the shows in one episode. Oh. Yeah. But I think they did a good job of giving him a performance that he could handle at that time.
I agree, because it seemed to me like he was just getting started with his acting, to put it politely. He did good for what they gave him.
And acting, as we know, is a broad definition when it comes to
The
Rock. Right.
I mean, it was mostly for him to kind of show off and do his wrestling thing and still get an acting credit, I think. And I don't know, the way I saw this episode, guys, was that the big suits at UPN brought this down to the writers at Voyager and said, hey, we want to do this, guys. And so then they put this together to make the two worlds collide and make everybody happy.
Yeah. I think they did it in a good way. I appreciate the episode. It was candy, but it was a candy that doesn't give you a bad aftertaste, in my opinion. Well, one person I want to talk about before we get into the special mentions, and that is sci-fi and fantasy royalty, John Rhys-Davies.
Leonardo da Vinci.
Leonardo da frickin' Vinci.
Yeah, da frickin' Vinci. Yeah.
I thought he did a great job on Voyager. I mean, he does a great job in everything he does.
Mm-hmm. True.
I think, like, of course, you know, like, you know, we know him as da Vinci, and fantasy fans know him as Ghibli from the Lord of the Rings trilogy, the Peter Jackson interpretation. And you know, he was fantastic in that. I mean, he has such a commanding voice, and he uses it very well. And you can tell he just has this classically trained presence, and he does a lot of voice acting. The first time I saw him, the first time I saw him was in Indiana Jones.
Ah.
You know, he was in The Last Crusade and Raiders of the Lost Ark. And I thought he did a fantastic characterization in that. And the next thing I saw him in as a young lad was Sliders, which is a very, very great sci-fi show. Have you guys seen Sliders at all?
Not a whole lot of it.
No.
Oh, okay. You need to take the time and just see like the first couple of episodes. Like just watch the pilot, because the pilot is a good hour and a half of television. It is just good sci-fi all around. And he's been linked with good sci-fi for a long time. I mean, and also comic books. Like, he's done a lot of voiceover work for like DC shows, like Justice League and things like that. He was also in Gargoyles, the cartoon TV show, and there was a lot of Star Trek alum in that one. Yeah. So I think that's his other Star Trek connection. What did you think of him as having the reoccurring role of Da Vinci? Because we saw him a couple of times, like in a concentrated season or two, and then we never saw him again. What did you think of that?
I didn't appreciate that he kind of just fell off the face of the earth after a while. I thought Da Vinci was actually a very good character for Janeway to play off of.
Mm-hmm. I wish we would have seen more of him. I liked him, too.
Yeah.
I liked that he kind of challenged her, even though he was just a hologram.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He was not aware of her status as leader of the ship and captain of the crew, and so he was able to, like, just treat her like a common assistant.
Right, right. Which, and, hey, she needs that a little bit of humbling.
I was going to say that. I was hoping that you guys wouldn't hurt me for saying that, but there's a few times when, as much as I love and I know you guys love Janeway, she needed to be knocked down a few pegs every once in a while.
Right, and Chakotay just was not getting the job done, so we needed somebody to go in there and do it. Da Vinci helped.
He did.
Absolutely.
He did.
Yeah, I wouldn't have minded seeing more of him at all.
Now it's time for the special mentions. I have about three special mentions, but if you guys can think of anything else, just shout them out. One thing that the first name that comes to mind is Andy Dick.
Yes.
Now, a lot of people hate Andy Dick, but everybody knows who Andy Dick is.
Yeah.
Probably from Celebrity Rehab more than anything, right?
And he's on Dancing with the Stars. Now,
he is?
Yes. I went, what?
Oh, my God.
Seriously.
Oh, dude. No comment. Yeah. I can't say that on the air.
I can honestly say that the only thing that I've enjoyed Andy Dick in is Star Trek.
Yeah, I think I have to agree with you. I think he's pretty obnoxious otherwise, and there is a certain line of obnoxiousness that is funny, but he crosses that line every single time, and I just can't handle him.
I can't handle him either. I mean, he's too vulgar for me. I don't like his physical comedy. I get embarrassed whenever I see him.
Like, you're embarrassed for him, you think?
I am embarrassed for him. That, like, the same way that, not the same way, but like when I watch the original Office and I see Ricky Gervais' character, I get too embarrassed to watch it.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah, I can't stand it. But with Andy Dick, I'm just like, oh, God, please just go away.
Yeah, that's the line I'm talking about. And it's a fine line, but once you cross it, you know.
He is, of course, in the episode Message in a Bottle. Now, that's actually on my top five list of favorite Voyager episodes. And I find it amusing that an actor who I can't stand is in one of my top five. But that's how, like, he showed us what he can do. And the writers utilized his talents without letting him go crazy.
Right.
And I appreciate
that. Yeah, they actually, they managed to rein him in. And I thought he did a great job for what he was cast to do.
Someone who is not an acquired taste, who everyone should love, and they're wrong if they don't love him, that's Michael McKean.
That is right.
Aww,
fear himself.
Awesome. He has been on everything. He started out in, what was it, Laverne and Shirley?
Yes.
Oh, my God, yes. Yes. Yes.
He started out that early in the 70s.
Yes.
Yeah, he was Lenny on Laverne and Shirley, which is just mind-blowing if you think about how long he's been around. And he's constantly been working since then.
Yeah.
He has not stopped working since the 70s.
Sorry, he was also in This Is Spinal Tap with Ed Begley Jr.
That's right. Just
go watch that movie.
Wheels. Yeah. Go watch the movie, yeah.
It's like six degrees of Kevin Bacon. Just
6 degrees of Ed Begley Jr. now?
That's it.
And he was also in X-Files.
Of course.
For all you X-Files fans.
Mm-hmm. I remember that episode.
He was also in Children's Hospital, like everybody else on our list.
Kind of everybody's been on that show.
And the most recent thing I saw him in, well, I should say heard him in, would be Batman The Dark Knight Returns, the animated rendition of Frank Miller's graphic novel. And he did a great job in that. I think he played the Joker's therapist.
Oh, nice. Hmm. I could see that.
Yeah, can't you see that? And then, of course, the Joker kills him with a coffee mug, which is just great.
Oh, man. Brutal.
And so, to round out our list, she is special to me. she may not be special to everyone, but my dad would be angry with me if I did not mention her name, and that's Virginia Madsen.
Who?
See, exactly. Okay.
Aww,
okay. See,
come on.
Sorry, Tristan's dad.
Hardcore sci-fi fans, unlike Char, will recognize...
I'm just kidding.
will recognize her from Highlander 2, The Quickening.
Uh-huh.
No, no, she was in... Come on, she was in Moonlighting.
Yeah.
She was in Gotham. She was in Earth 2, The
oh,
Rainmaker.
Earth 2?
Yeah,
okay, now you're talking.
She was in Dawson's Creek as well, and she was in Frasier. Let's see. She was in The Practice. See, now I'm just listing stuff, and you guys can tell I'm just listing stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, she was also in Justice League with John Rhys-Davies.
Hey.
Yeah, and yeah, just tons and tons and tons of fantastic stuff.
What about Spinal Tap? She wasn't there?
I don't think she was in Spinal Tap. Well, then she doesn't deserve to be on this list if she wasn't in Spinal Tap.
That's right. If you've not been in that movie, to heck with you. You're nobody.
Well, that is our list. And as we said before, we could not get to everyone, but we would love to hear your feedback on who we did miss and what you love them from. So please go to trek.fm/contact. And from there, you can send us an email of what you think of the episode or just, you know, who we missed. And you can also talk about it on the forums on our website.
Yeah.
And please give us an iTunes review if you can. It takes 30 seconds of your time. Just let us know like how you think we're doing. And if you give us a 5-star review, we'll talk about you on the podcast. And speaking of which, Char, I think we have some new 5-star reviews.
We do. We have. Actually, I have to give a shout out to a guy named Kevin Bolton, because not only did he write us a 5-star review on iTunes, but he publicized our podcast on a Facebook group called Star Trek Voyager Forever and had very nice things to say about us. So thank you very much for sharing and spreading the word for us. Very much appreciated.
And everybody should go and sign up for Star Trek Voyager Forever.
Yeah, totally. Do it. It's a great group. Also to Gail, who posted in a Facebook group, I think it's the Bring Back Catherine Janeway group, back when in the novels they killed her off. Spoiler alert. Hope you listened last week.
I did put a warning for all of you in the show notes, so you know.
Yes. So thank you, Gail, for doing that as well. She publicized last week's podcast about Voyager movie ideas. And also for Lara HB, because she left us a 5-star review in the Germany iTunes store and let us know about that. So thank you, you beautiful people.
Yeah, we're getting international up in here onto the journey.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the way it should be.
Getting cray-cray in this hizzy.
Getting cray-cray in this hizzy. You heard it here first.
There you go.
Okay. Well, that is our show for today, but next week we have, we don't get too controversial on this show,
but
we're going to a little bit next week. We're going to discuss the question that has been discussed in almost every single season. No, I take that back. Absolutely in every single season of Star Trek Voyager.
Yeah, definitely.
Are photonic life forms real life forms?
Ooh.
And yeah, it's going to be heated. It's going to be amazing. Things are going to get thrown.
Maybe.
You'll not even hear Char swear. In fact, you'll probably most likely hear Char swear.
No way. Little old me.
Little old you. So please tune in next week. For now, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey.